See, I am sending my messenger ahead of me to prepare the way in the wilderness, crying out so all flesh will see the salvation of God. What is it that the people will see? What is it that we shout? And into what wildernesses do we now feel called? About 50 years ago, a group of American missionaries went into the jungles of Ecuador, surely with love in their hearts and with the best of intentions. They went into that wilderness to cry out the name of Jesus. The paths would be made straight and the high places made low and the low places filled in by a hoped-for act of conversion. Something went very wrong and violence broke out and the men were killed. Across the country, they were hailed as heroes. I read an article about them this week by a woman who spent a year of her college living in a dorm named for one of them. A similar story played out in recent weeks. A young man went to a very remote island in the Indian Ocean where lives one of the most isolated groups of people in the world. Like the men who went to Ecuador, he felt it a sacred duty to go into this wilderness. He too was killed. But the reaction to his death has been very different. It's been mixed. Even in the corners of Christianity, where we might expect him to be hailed a hero, obviously something has changed in the years since. Into what wildernesses are we called to go, and what are we called to cry out when we are there? When people find out I'm a pastor, they often want to know in what denomination, and I usually just say Lutheran and hope they don't know enough to ask which kind. Sometimes I'm a little bit nervous when I have to say those words, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. That word can say quite a lot in our culture, can't it? And it can say a lot of things we don't always want it to say. When I say that word, I'm never quite sure how people are going to react. After all, they may have been hurt very badly by somebody hiding behind that word. For some of our brothers and sisters in the faith, and even for myself in the past, that word evangelical has meant a desire for power, an effort to dominate and control, an effort to reshape the wilderness after my own image. And so many of us have just tried to avoid that word altogether, haven't we? But it's not just that word, that model of evangelism, that convert the world to our club kind, doesn't work very well in our world anymore, and it rather unsettles us and leaves us quite uncomfortable, and I think rightly so, of course. We've known too many Christians whose lives are rich and full, We've known too many non-Christians, after all, whose lives are rich and full. But what do we do? Into what wildernesses do we go, and what do we cry out when we are there? And far too often for me, my answer has been nothing. And that doesn't seem very Christian at all. What kind of pastor are you? A Lutheran, and can we please just leave it there? No, I don't think we can. At the root of it, I think, is the question of what it is that we share with one another, what it is that cuts across group lines, across religious lines. What is it that those of us in Cambridge and in Ecuador and in the Andaman Islands share with one another? What is it that we have that we hope others might share in also? I think to be a Christian, to walk this way with one another, to be a church in this world, that answer has to be that we all need the salvation that Jesus brings. It is, after all, what we prayed earlier this morning, that all people would see and have knowledge of the salvation of God. Surely we have to hold on to that. But how is that true in our world today? How is that real? for us. I read something this week that gave me pause. It's been turning over in my mind since then. It was a pretty simple observation, but it stuck with me, and it was this, that most of the people that encountered Jesus never did come and follow. The writer who wrote that didn't just mean that most of the people who saw Jesus passing him on the street, say, they didn't see a magical aura about him. No, he meant those people who had their lives changed. That woman who bled for 12 years, the man with the withered hand, the demoniac in the Decapolis, the Syrophoenician woman, the widow whose son was raised from the dead. We don't ever hear from these people again. But surely their lives were never the same. Of course, there were people who joined the band and walked along with Jesus and the 12, but most of the people whose lives were touched went on right where they were. Right where they were, but never the same. They knew something, after all, about the world that they hadn't known before, that there was a light that shined in their darkness, that there was an answer to those deepest fears they carried with them, that death couldn't conquer life. They saw that they were held by the very life of God, and that the chasm that they feared they were falling into was filled with the very hands of the one who made them. And isn't this, then, the gift that we have been given, that we are moved to share with others, that life need not be a race to accumulate, that life need not be an effort to add prestige and power and wealth, but rather that we can rest in this promise of God's love, that we can live from this promise of God's love? And what if that were our starting point for talking about being evangelical? What if it were this word, this baptismal declaration, you are a child of God and you are held in eternity by the one who scattered the stars? What if our starting point is this cross on our foreheads, this word that has been spoken over us, that there is no enemy we need fear? What if our evangelism is to walk in this way, from these waters into the wildernesses of our world, to love as we have been loved, safe in the promise that we have been given, that this word, this identity, can never be lost or stolen, can never be taken away by anything that we do or anything that's done to us? Then what might we do, and into what wildernesses might we go, and what might we cry out when we find ourselves there? Into that wilderness, where the value and worth of a person is measured in dollars, let this word then be cried out, that you are made in the image of God with divine worth and dignity, and let this word be spoken to us in our baptismal waters and through us in our love for those we meet. Into that wilderness where might makes right and you deserve what you can take and grasp and hold on to, let this word be spoken. Consider the lilies who have all that they need, and how much more surely do you that the God who holds you will keep you forever. Let this word be spoken to us in these baptismal waters and through us in generosity. And into that wilderness where walls are being built to separate people from one another, let this word be spoken, for you too were once foreigners and slaves, outsiders brought in by the love of God. Let this word of freedom be spoken to us in our baptisms and through us in our hospitality to all children of God. See, I am sending my people ahead of me, says the Lord. to cry out in the wilderness with their whole lives, to live this way for the sake of the whole creation, to speak the evangel, the good news that this love is free and eternal and transforms the world. And let this be the good news that we live. Amen.